I have to hold on. I have to corral my animal. Hold on.
Yeah, you gotta go corral Fife. Yeah.
Hey, why are you biting every fucking thing in the house?
Teething, man.
Don't talk to your girlfriend that way. That was for the podcast, just in case.
No bite.
Oh.
Do we just leave all this in before Maybe. Africa kicks in?
Maybe this can just be the podcast. No one likes the fourth preseason game.
The Fife Files. Guys, I was watching the coverage of Hurricane Harvey on the Weather Channel. I've been getting in about 2 years watching the Weather Channel in like these last couple of days, because this is the only time when I really tune in, because they really go all out in this. But they were talking to some FEMA guy who was talking about some evacuation stuff, and he dropped the lines, things of that nature. And I had to like stop what I was doing and look up.
And when you looked up, what did you see?
They had cut away. So I wasn't, I don't know, maybe Jim Caldwell is down in Houston helping the people. I don't know. Who's to say? This is First Bite, preview podcast from PrideToDetroit.com, at PrideToDetroit on Twitter. You know how to find us. The companion to the PODcast, shorter in form, but just as sexy. I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Adequate Host. That voice right there was Ryan Matthews, the rock god. He does not get the Limp Bizkit drop because this is not PODcast. He will next podcast, though. And Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online, is here. And hey. This is supposed to be the preview podcast, so no talk about the Stafford contract at all.
I think that adheres to all of the rules that are clearly stated about this podcast that we
yes,
record.
Yes, our very strict rules about our content, which is meticulously arranged and not at all haphazardly thrown together.
I thought you said this was a sexy podcast. If this is a sexy podcast, talking about an away game at Buffalo for the fourth preseason game.
Sexy.
Just about as unsexy as you can get.
Chris, someone's having fun in the parking lot.
Real quick.
Yeah, what's up?
You talk about these rules that we so meticulously crafted. How did we come up with those rules again?
Very carefully.
There we go.
No, let's talk about Stafford's contract. As we were talking about, and I was on the wrong side of it, and that's fine. Kind of didn't, as I said, there's a 50% chance of anything happening. And the 50% chance is that Stafford got a contract of like not as much as we thought. We were all thinking 30 million average range. It came out closer, I think, Jeremy, to like 27 million. But I think the staggering thing is the amount of guaranteed money he got. He got, I think, about like $500,000 more guaranteed than Ndamukong Suh had in his contract in Miami.
Yes, just about. I can go through all the record-breaking details really quick. 27 million per year beats Derek Carr's 25 million. 92 million in total guarantees throughout the whole contract, which beats Andrew Luck's 87 million. 60.5 million guaranteed at the time of signing, which beat Ndamukong Suh's 59.9, and a $50 million signing bonus, which beat Joe Flacco's record of 40 million.
Woo! I like it. It's sexy. That could get you a lot of Chick-fil-A.
Hey, and at the same time, there were so many people in the media that were very quick to call this a hometown discount. Is this a hometown discount?
I mean, if we were setting the bar at 30 million, yeah. Is the point of quibbling for people, is it going to be the amount of guaranteed money?
Well, in honesty, that matters a little more than your average per year number.
Absolutely.
The average per year number is just kind of a benchmark. It doesn't really mean that much. If you have that much guaranteed, it's going to be tough to get rid of that cap hit early in the contract. And you can see if you kind of look down at the dead money, the overall cap hits each year, basically the Lions are on the hook with Stafford for the next 4 out of the 6 years. They could disengage after the final 2 years and barely incur any sort of cap hit. He doesn't cost anything the last year. The last year is basically a team option at this point. But I don't think the Lions have any intention of disengaging unless something crazy happens with Stafford, you know, his arm falls off or something like that. But
okay, you just had to put that out in the ether, didn't you?
Yep.
Well, I gotta say, like, I think this is the way NFL contracts are going. Like, I know people are concerned about the guaranteed money, but I think more players are going to demand more of their contracts be guaranteed.
I mean, it's certainly possible. It definitely, the narrative of that really heated up in the midst of NBA free agency this year, although it kind of does that every year. It definitely did it the year before. But with the NBA contracts being kind of out of control with guaranteed money, or maybe it's unfair to say they're out of control. I think it's more so that the NFL contracts are out of control. They're guaranteed.
This is more. I think the NFL having to correct itself,
right,
of inequalities that they've had forever as being the only. They're the only sport in North America that doesn't guarantee their contracts, right? Like the full amount.
Baseball is in full. When you sign that dotted line, you're getting paid all that money.
Basketball's full. What about hockey?
I'm pretty sure that hockey is fully guaranteed money too, but I mean, if we're comparing hockey to any sport, hockey players make peanuts compared to any of the other three major.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Sure. So, but really I agree, Jeremy. I think what happened with the NBA though, is that this was the first summer where some of those players, some of the, like the elite, like superstar players were eligible for supermax contracts. And those were something that were just introduced in the most recent collective bargaining agreement that the players had with the league. And that opened up the floodgates for like the Steph Currys of the world to get like, you know, hundreds of million dollars in guarantees. So
right.
that definitely has changed the game. And it all, but I mean, I think that agreement all but guarantees that we are heading towards a lockout.
Yeah,
pretty much.
When the next CBA is up, I think that's almost a foregone conclusion at this point.
I mean, we're kind of veering off topic, but I know, like, you know, there's going to be people who whine. It's like, well, if you didn't like the CBA before, why'd you agree to it? I don't really have time.
Why does anybody agree to anything at any point in time then?
Yeah. It's called leverage. Look it up. But getting back to Stafford, like everyone here is in agreement. It's good for the team. Like, Jeremy, you just laid out how not only is like the money's good for Stafford, but it's also good for the Lions. And that, you know, I think I heard somewhere that it's like the cap hit percentage, it's not going to be as bad as it was for Flacco. Like, Flacco ate up more of the percentage of the cap at the time when he signed his contract. Stafford actually eats up less of that cap. So. Like, that's good. And then, as you said, like, those later years become team options because of how it's structured.
Right. Yeah. Just if people are interested in the numbers, I think Flacco is in the around 16.5% of the cap. Stafford maxes out at 15.8% of the cap. And that's, you know, that's assuming some things. That's in 2020. We don't exactly know what the cap is going to be that year.
Yeah, the cap's going to go up too.
So. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's the other thing too that I can't exactly quote. It was a tweet that I saw after the news broke, not after the news broke, but after the details of the contract came out, and it mentioned how Stafford's contract that he signed in 2013, if you account for inflation, like that contract, he was a bigger cap hit percentage on that deal than he was this new one that he signed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean.
Essentially, that's all that really matters, right?
All that matters, right? Because that's the problem they ran into with Sue and Calvin and Stafford. You had three guys who were accounting for such a large, you know, portion of your cap. I think it was over 50%.
Right. And I mean,
or damn near close if it would have been, if Sue would have re-upped. Yeah.
And to give a, you know, a counter argument to all this, I mean, 15% is a lot, not a lot. I mean, that's an obstacle for a GM. It really is. It makes their job more challenging to have a guy that takes up 15%, 16% of the cap, but that's the GM's job. I mean, it's also a big hurdle in the NFL to get around not having a franchise quarterback. And so I think people that are hung up about, you know, what are the line it's going to do? Why can't the Lions spend that $135 million on a defense or a running game? Or, I mean, they're looking at it the wrong way here, because teams build around a franchise quarterback all the time. And maybe it's not as high as 15.5% like Stafford is at, but it's usually in the 11 to 15 range. And you look at a team, I think, like the Oakland Raiders, they have a defense. They just paid their franchise quarterback a ton of money, and they're going to be really competitive this year. It definitely increases the degree of difficulty for a general manager's job, but that's their job. And, you know, if you believe in Bob Quinn, then this shouldn't worry you. And I think one misnomer that people take from this is like, ooh, now Stafford has got to prove something that he's getting, you know, he's getting paid all this money. Stafford has to prove something. No, Bob Quinn has to prove something now. Now it's his job. If he agreed to pay Matthew Stafford all this money, it's his job to build that team around him. Matthew Stafford just needs to play as how he has been playing, in my opinion.
Right. I think that's probably the best way to frame it. Everyone's been framing it as like Bob Quinn will live or die depending on how Stafford plays out this contract, because unfair or not, he will be tied to that he signed Stafford. I think it's the other way around. It's like, okay, now your work is starting right now. Now you've got to build the team, because this team isn't here yet. Like, I mean, people point this out. I've seen this point out across the national media, and I kind of agree with it. Like, it's not that Stafford's let this team down. It's just he's had very little around him that I can say is above replacement level, except for maybe probably that defense in 2014 and Calvin Johnson.
Right. And they go 11-5 that year.
For so long, this offensive line was just trash. We've talked about how the Lions have never had a premier running back. And outside of Calvin Johnson, like until Golden Tate came out kind of into his own this year, like it wasn't exactly like he had options besides Megatron. Like this was a team that's been riding on Calvin Johnson. I think I saw something like the massive amount of this offense, 79% of it goes through Matthew Stafford. It's because of Matthew Stafford. You can't find that anywhere else in the NFL.
I have one kind of less interesting point to bring up about Matthew Stafford and the details of his contract and how it's kind of structured. In terms of the cap hit, is low this season for 2017, which ended up, how much money did it free up for the Lions salary cap, Jeremy?
I want to say 5.5, somewhere around that number. Basically move them from, I want to say, 7.5 million to about
right around 12,
13, 12, 13. Yeah.
Okay. Now, like as the contract moves on, 2018, 2019, 2020, like you're talking about a cap hit of 26.5, then 29.5, and then it balloons all the way to 31.5 in 2020. Because that cap hit is so large in those years, I'm trying to figure out why they loaded the contract the way that they did, whether or not that was a negotiating point from Stafford and his agent, or because now, you know, we're talking about team building and what Bob Quinn is planning on doing. You know, this offseason, he spent a lot of money in free agency, you know, signing Rick Wagner, signing TJ Lang. Those are big deals. Now, he's going to have some wiggle room here next year. When his cap hit isn't as high, it's 26.5, and that's, you know, a reasonable amount. But like then 2019, 2020, it really ramps up, and that's when he's going to account for a big part of the salary. So I'm wondering whether or not Quinn really views as the next year free agency, if that's going to be a time to like really load up. Like, does he? I guess I'm just trying to figure out whether or not Bob Quinn views this team as a winner sooner rather than later.
That's an interesting point to bring up, because not only do the Lions free up a little space now to potentially, you know, add a defensive end, maybe trade for one that's on a bigger contract. Everyone is saying Sheldon Richardson. I don't know if that's really going to happen. Usually when everyone says it's going to be this one guy, it never is. But you think about next year, the Lions have that slew of free agents coming. You know, Travis Swanson, Ezekiel Ansah. There's, I mean, Nevin I can't Lawson. Nevin Lawson. There's
I think Ansah's going to get that franchise tag.
Well, that's the other interesting point that I think kind of coincides with why there's some wiggle room in the cap hit for Stafford isn't necessarily as big next year, because then depending on what Ansah does this year, I'm not sure if the team, for whatever reason, I think Ansah could have another 14 and a half sack season. Mm-hmm. And I think that they would still be leery of giving him a big contract.
Sure.
And by doing this and by structuring his contract this way, I think it really does open up the opportunity for the team to franchise tag Ziggy if they want to.
Absolutely. But my concern is if they're signing any of those other guys to long-term deals, those cap hits on those contracts are probably going to coincide with the ones on Stafford's contract. So then you get into like 2021 where Stafford's got his $30 million cap hit. Maybe, I don't know, Evan Lawson is $7-8 million a year at that point. Probably not that much, but hey, who knows?
Hey, I think
at least for Lawson's case, you've got rookies coming up the chain at his position.
That's true. That's a good point.
Another point that I want to make, though, I think Nevin Lawson is a guy who could probably make upwards of $10 million a year. I really do. Yeah. I really do.
He's going to have a year then.
Yeah. I mean, that's another talk for another day, but
yeah. Okay. We've done about 15 minutes on this. I honestly just want to go the whole podcast on this, but do you guys want to do it now or should we take a break and come back? Let's take a break and come back, because before we talk about the Buffalo Bills, if we talk about the Buffalo Bills, I want to talk about some of the reaction to the Stafford contract, because, oh boy, it's been a doozy. So we're taking a break. Stick around. First Bite comes back previewing the Matthew Stafford, the new Matthew Stafford era, and the Buffalo Bills.
Maybe.
First Bite back in action. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blog Talk Radio, Pride of Detroit, NFL Lions. All right. So we've been going over the news here. This is preseason game 4. We don't really have a guest. This is the drive up to Ontario to get beer when you're 19 bowl rivalry series with Buffalo. And there's really not much to say here. We've been doing it for, what is it now, like 16 years? Longer?
I don't think it's been that long, but I don't know.
Has it? Whatever. It has. No one remembers the past preseasons.
Except for everybody always references the 4-0 mm-hmm. preseason.
4-0 in 2008.
Harry Hyder remembers. R.I.P.
R.I.P. I want to talk about the...
Game 4 of the preseason should be called the Carry Hyder special, because that dude balled out. I think last year he had 3 sacks. The year before he had 3 fumble recoveries.
Buffalo was how he got his job last year.
Yeah.
So Buffalo was why he made money last year and didn't lose money.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, but I want to talk about the react. So obviously Stafford signs his contract and people have had their takes probably pre-written and ready to go, because no matter what the Lions were going to do, people were going to find a way to harp on them, because why? They're the Lions. They're not supposed to do the smart thing. So whatever they do, it must be dumb. And we've already laid out one duck today on prideofdetroit.com. He's a free press article, a columnist. You can go and see Jeremy just absolutely eviscerate him. Like John Oliver.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. My John Oliver now destroying Trump.
Just completely leveling him.
He's gone now. No one ever remembers Trump or Carlos. Yeah, I said his name. What up, Carlos?
Yeah, all the beat reporters have been dunking on him too. So it's been a... very interesting little day. So, but I want to, yeah, like I think there's two ways to do it. Like, You can take the Carlos route, which is that everything is wrong with this thing. The Lions will regret it forever. They should have absolutely replicated the Bledsoe to Brady transition, put Rudock in and save themselves money for, I don't know, the mythical free agent who was just around the corner, who's obviously going to turn this team around.
The next Jake Booty.
The next Jake Booty, yes. Or, like, I mean, I even saw Wojnarowski. How do I say his name?
Call him Wojo.
Yeah, I don't want to call him Wojo. I want to call him by his actual name.
I don't know. I think it's Bob Wojnarowski. Wojnarowski,
yeah.
See, the problem is it's like a lot like the actual Woj. No disrespect. But he was even saying, like, you know, this is the right deal. You may not like the money, but it's the right, like, you have no other alternative. And it's like the right thing. It's what the market is for these quarterbacks right now. Like, someone else is going to get paid in a few months more than Matthew Stafford. And we're going to harp on them next.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you have a problem with the contract, it's basically hate the game, not the player, you know?
Kirk Cousins is going to be on the open market.
Yeah, he's going to get $30 million, and people are going to have the exact same reaction that they had today, which was, oh my God, Kirk Cousins isn't even a top five quarterback. Why is he the highest paid player in NFL history? Because that's the game. Don't hate Washington or whatever team that gives it to. Well, you can hate Washington because it's Washington, but this is just the system that's set up. And you can say the system is stupid, and you can say the NFL teams are making a mistake by making this a trend. This isn't how you build a team. If that's your argument, that's a fine argument. But if your argument is LOL Lions, then you're not adding anything smart to the conversation.
Well, and I want to read off some of the Deadspin stuff here because they quoted a tweet here. These are 11 quarterbacks. This is from Avin Levitin. These 11 quarterbacks confirmed with possible week one starters. By the way, the Deadspin article title, It's Now or Never for Matthew Stafford, I think is probably the fairest take you could ask for on this. Because it does point out, yeah, he is 5-46 against winning teams. But, like, there's a lot else out there, and it's like, yeah, no, it lays out all the scenarios. But anyway, the tweet is this. These 11 quarterbacks are confirmed possible week one starters. Bortles, Tolson, Peterman, Goff, Savage, McCown, Glennon, Cutler, Kaiser, Simeon, Hoyer. And to quote the top comment on that Deadspin article, hi, decently plugged in football fan here. Who the fuck is Peterman? Like, this, there is a very steep cliff here. Matthew Stafford is not at the bottom of that cliff.
Depends on who you ask, though, right? Because, like you said, though, Chris, that 5-46 number, I've seen that statistic more in the past 26 hours now than I've seen in maybe the past couple years. Because everybody comes back to this QB wins argument, and it's a terrible one. It's an awful one. And it's one that we shouldn't even acknowledge when it comes to contract season, because, like you said, if you're next up, you're next to get paid. And that's all it is. If Matthew Stafford hits the open market, I think they mentioned this on Good Morning Football, he's probably going to make $30, $31 million easily. There's no doubt in my mind that the New York Jets would shell out that kind of coin for him, or the San Francisco 49ers.
Or any of those
teams that you listed off their 11 starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, he kind of lumped Kaiser in there, and, like, that's kind of a little unfair. That's a rookie quarterback, but whatever. Like, 10, 11 teams out there who would just throw a treasury at Stafford to have him. And more to the point, too, like what we were saying last segment, right? We were saying, like, how much Stafford has had a weak supporting cast around him. Like, you can't win on your own like that. Luck can't even do that.
Yeah, that's what kills me, is because Luck is somehow viewed as this guy who, he just needs the help and he can turn it around. But people who view Stafford don't give him the same courtesy for whatever reason.
Yeah, for how many fucking years it was, oh, wow, Stafford, you have Calvin Johnson, you can't win.
Right. Like having a Hall of Fame wide receiver is all a team needs to compete for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's so fucking easy.
Isn't that right, Terrell Owens?
Can we... Terrell, can we...
Whatever.
I was just, that was such a douchebag thing of me to do. Anyways, what, I mean, can we parse out like why Andrew Luck gets that kind of treatment? Like, because they're both, they were both drafted number one overall.
It's very simple.
Is it as simple as he's been in the AFC Championship game?
Yeah. He started his career with success, like Mark Sanchez.
And he gets to be the guy who inherits the Peyton Manning legacy in Indianapolis.
Well, he's also the guy who got to play in the AFC South. So,
right. Yeah, that's it. Right. That too.
That's the part that people don't.
Yeah. Like, I remember from the Carlos article called like the NFC North weak. And I'm just like, what fucking universe have you been in?
I mean, it may be trending in that direction now, but
I disagree. I think if anything, it's trending up right now.
I mean, even the Packers look to be taking a step back. I don't know. Like, I don't
know. They're the only one. I think the Bears are going to win 6 games this year. I think Minnesota could win 11.
I mean, one of those 6 games better not be chalking us up.
Right. No, it's not going to be us. We own the Bears.
They took us down once last year.
Dude, don't do this. Don't do this. All right, I want to bring up one more take because I just saw this a few hours ago, and it is so cynical. Like it has redefined the word real politic. And that is Detroit's own Rob Parker, who was on with The Herd. And I despise mentioning The Herd because Colin Cowherd is probably one of the dumbest men in sports talk radio. But I mean, just my God, like, do you still have that take up, Jeremy? Because you were the one who put it on my feed because I've prematurely blocked everything from The Herd and Colin Cowherd.
Well, Cowherd himself.
Yeah, this is the surprising part. And this is where I started to jump off Stafford.
Right. Cowherd himself said that Matthew Stafford is worth every penny that the Lions pay him.
Which... And he didn't even cite Andrew Cotto.
I for the first time ever, I did that shaking head meme with his eyes closed, whatever that guy is. That's what I did when I saw that Cowherd was on our side.
But dude, I think Cowherd kind of stumped for Stafford during the season last year, saying he was the best quarterback in the NFC North, which is just typical Cowherd hot take. But
right.
Well, is it because Stafford stopped wearing his hat backward? Is that all it takes to like convince Colin Cowherd that you're a good quarterback?
As long as you have a dad around, apparently that makes you a
good
quarterback.
And don't dance. Yeah. Stafford did dance. Stafford did the Ray Lewis.
It's true.
Could it be something else, I wonder?
Anyways, I'm sure Colin Cowherd wished that the wife of his guest married a better columnist, because Rob Parker is a disgrace to all things sports. And
talk about his take? Hold on. Like all things humanity, that guy is just a fucking waste of space.
I'm not going to go that hard because I share he might be around my school. I don't know. I'm trying to lay low, but
too late.
Let's read it. Let's go off on his take though. What was the take? What was he talking about today? So Rob Parker's take is pretty much kind of the usual shtick. It's like he's 5-whatever against winning teams, 1-whatever on the road. He claims he had no signature wins. I don't know if that's a stat.
They're like signature stats, but like not real.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently throwing touchdowns late in the game is a bad thing now. To win the game, that's no longer clutch, that's bad. And he blames him for nearly everything that went wrong in the Dallas game. And he basically Colin asked him at the end, it's like, okay, you don't pay him the money, who would you get? Colin Kaepernick. Which I'm sorry, that's like the most cynical way to treat the Colin Kaepernick thing out there. Am I wrong? Is that not just like the most cynical thing out there, is to use him as your shield to say, don't pay this guy?
Not even just as a shield, but almost using him as like a lightning rod, because Rob knew everything that he was doing by saying his name.
Yeah, no, right? He absolutely did. And that's why I call it cynical, because it's disgusting, because it's like I root for Colin Kaepernick to get a job.
Yeah.
But now you're just going to level him against a guy who's probably in like the top 10 of quarterbacks out there.
I mean, essentially what he did is he took the biggest news story of the past 24 hours and meshed it up with the biggest news story of maybe the NFL offseason. And there we go.
We just read off 11 other names. And a lot of these guys were signed before Kaepernick. Far worse than Stafford. Like, you could have gone to anywhere there, but you just had to do it because it's Detroit.
I ain't got nothing to say to Rob Parker, man. He's clearly a fucking troll. He clearly doesn't respect.
No, this is a troll job. You're absolutely right. This is a troll job. Like, we kind of joked a little bit on some of these other pieces, whether or not they're troll jobs, but this one is absolutely a troll job. And that's all Fox Sports One can do.
Carlos was worth my time. Rob Parker is not worth my time. That's how low I think of Rob Parker.
That's a compliment to Carlos Monterez. Oh, my God. We're just duck hunting everyone on this thing, right?
Yes.
All right. You guys want to talk? I would rather be
playing duck hunt right now.
Yeah, we are 30 minutes in. Are we going to talk anything about the Bills here?
Do you want to talk about Nathan Peterman?
Well, let's not talk about the Bills. Let's talk about the Lions in relation to the fourth preseason game, because it's an important game for a lot of Lions.
Well, let's update a little bit because we were doing our roster predictions. We were all wrong. Cyrus Kwanja was shown the door today.
Well, I think we were all right. I said that Cyrus wasn't going to be on the roster.
Okay, so we all get to piggyback off that. Great.
Let me take my W, okay? We were all...
You get your W. You're going to get your fucking W.
We were wrong. I was wrong about Tim Wright. I think a few of us were wrong
about
Tim
Wright. Yeah, we were all... No. Yeah, I think all of us said Tim Wright was in.
Yeah.
And Keyshawn Martin, I was wrong. He's not in. He's out.
I thought Keyshawn Martin had a chance to make the roster too, so I was dumb wrong on that as well.
I mean, it seemed like he was following the exact role that... The Lions
Andre Roberts had
with Andre Roberts last year. So that definitely came. All three of those cuts were minor surprises to me. Nothing huge, but those were guys that I thought were in the midst of a good competition. Like Cyrus Kwanja, I thought he was going to be the backup offensive tackle this year. I thought Cornelius Lucas, you know, he had a big old contract and the Lions could unload $2-3 million if they let him go. But it came down to, they don't have any offensive tackle depth. They need to pay $3 million for a backup because they just don't have anyone there. And obviously they didn't like what they saw in Cyrus Kwanja. I barely saw him out there. So I guess what it is, it is what it is.
I'm wondering whether or not you're going to see some of these moves. I'm wondering whether or not Bob Quinn is going to kind of think with his current pocketbook now, though, you know, now that he has the Stafford deal aside, you know, that freed up, you know, $5-ish million. So now that they can afford to pay for a luxury like that, where, you know, they think Cornelius Lucas is the better player and they don't have to worry about pinching pennies.
Right.
This season, at least. So, you know, that's one luxury that maybe is afforded to them now.
The right thing's a little interesting to me because Cole Wick is hurt. So, I mean, but granted, now we're talking, you know, four down on the tight end depth chart. So.
But yeah, Wick did return to practice. We don't know if it was full or partial because the media was only privy to individual drills. But surprisingly, Cole Wick is back. So at this point, I mean, I'm still under the impression they're going to keep four tight ends. So I think Cole Wick is still an in. Right. But that's surprising to me because, you know, on Sunday when we recorded the POD cast, I didn't think he would be back.
Who has to ball out against the Bills? Who has to have the Kerry Hyder special?
That's a very good question. Who needs to serve up the Kerry Hyder Jr. special?
Yeah. Who's got to pull a Kerry Hyder to make this team?
I think I'm going to stay in the position. And either Pat O'Connor or Alex Barrett really needs to have a big game on Thursday, because the Lions are desperately searching for some defensive end help. And even though we got good news today via Bob Quinn that Ezekiel Ansah should be ready for week one, they still need to rotate guys in there. And I don't know who it's going to be. It's going to be Ansah. It's going to be Cornelius Washington. It's going to be last year's sixth rounder, your fave Zettel, Anthony Zettel. Mm-hmm. And then who? Because Armon T. Bryant's out for four games. Is it going to be Valuaga? Is it going to be Alex Barrett? Is it going to be Pat O'Connor? Ugh, that doesn't seem like a great slate of guys to pick from, but two of those guys are probably going to make the team. maybe all three. Hopefully not all three.
Well, I'm gonna go the other way on this because, I mean, just because the team is so desperate along the defensive line, like you said, all three of those guys might end up making the team. So it might not necessarily matter who necessarily has a really good game against the Bills on Thursday. I think it's going to be wide receiver. Like somebody on that wide receiver depth chart needs to have not only a good game at wide receiver, but they need to show up in special teams too, like in a big way, because even though Keyshawn Martin's out, that, I mean, you're still left with TJ Jones, Aberderis, and Billingsley. Maybe the Lions might still just go with four wide receivers.
Possible. You know, if I'm being honest, though, I don't think either of those three players are going to have a return job with the team this year. I really feel like the Lions are going to split it up, and I really feel like based on what they've done this preseason, it's going to be Dwayne Washington returning kicks and Jamal Agnew returning punts.
I'm wondering whether or not, just because nobody's really shown out, like the only guy who's had, there have been like two good punt returns. I mean, I'm not even going to count Jamal Agnew's because it was in the mock game.
Right. Okay.
That was so long ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, Keyshawn Martin had a pretty good punt return and he's not on the team anymore. Jace Billingsley, I don't know if that punt that he had that he returned against the Patriots would happen in the regular season. Could Golden Tate return punts?
Would he want to?
He could, but he wasn't getting reps, from what I understand. Toward, like, he started getting reps at the beginning of training camp, but then that faded out.
It faded out for sure. But at this point, nobody has stepped up. So that's why I kind of think somebody has to, at the wide receiver position, maybe even the cornerback one, because that's a tight one too. Like, I mean, I really feel like just because Quinn values special teams so much that somebody has to have a really good day on special teams at either cornerback or wide receiver to make sure that their spot on this roster is safe.
I think my wild card here is Jared Aberderis. Because
yeah, he's a good one.
He's actually pretty good at special teams, just not as a returner. He's one of those gunning type that you probably don't really notice too much, but he's actually pretty good at it. So, like I said, I don't think any of the wide receivers takes one of the return jobs. So maybe it's the gunner job that gives Jared Aberderis the edge. I know I've been kind of pushing for the past 2 weeks that I think he's going to get traded, and I still think that's a possibility, but at this point, I don't think any of the return guys outside of Keyshawn Martin at wide receiver has really impressed me enough to think that you can win the job as a punt returner. And that's going to make for a really interesting battle in this fourth game. And I do think behind defensive end, wide receiver is definitely the thing I'm going to be keeping the most attention on Thursday.
I think we're going to leave it there. This has been a pretty good way. We have definitely previewed the Buffalo Bills. People are walking away from this smarter about this, about our friendly team up in Buffalo.
Zay Jones.
There Who? You go.
Zay Jones.
Thank you.
I think that's how we're just going to end it right there. Goodbye, everyone. See you star side. Enjoy the game. Root for the guys, and play a little bit of Africa. Lions hauled the big one in.
281-330-8004. Hit Zay Jones up on the low, because Zay Jones, he about to blow.
And cut.